Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is May 25th, my son's 27th birthday. Another son having a birthday in 10 days, and then a daughter having a birthday in 12 days after that. We had our kids 1, 2, 3, a year and 2 weeks apart. That was family planning, John. That's the way to do it. You're joining us here at the Creation Science Hour. My name is Kent Hovind. I taught high school science 15 years, and now travel and speak on creation for over 15 years, doing seminars on creation and debates at universities, and generally stirring up trouble for the people who believe they came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. And joining me today is Jonathan. Been with us for about a year now, helping us do the program on creation and evolution. And you're welcome to call in. If you'd like to be on the air, is Diane in there, Jonathan? I didn't see. She is. Okay. If you want to call in, you can be on by calling 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, and we will get you live on the air here with your questions related to the creation evolution topic, preferably. Though we talk about a lot of stuff, we kick a lot of dogs as we walk by. So you can call in our AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. We have had a busy, busy month here. Matter of fact, it's been a busy lifetime, but it's really been busy this last couple of months. So sorry for the little bit of confusion here. We'll try to hurry. Here we have some testimonies been sent to us. This one from Melinda. I just wanted to tell you that I watched your videos on creation about the dinosaurs and lies in the textbooks. I want to thank you for doing your work in evangelism. The videos were absolutely amazing and meant a lot to me. The college that I go to is a mining school in Montana, and most of the professors are evolutionists. It is nice to know the real side of what is going on and be able to reference to your videos and talk to the professors about it. Thanks for everything you do, and God bless you in your fight for Christ. Melinda, a student at Montana Tech University. Well, thank you, Melinda, and tell your professors to give me a call. I'll be glad to straighten them out. You know, if they believe they came from a rock, we can help. We have the technology. Here's one from Travis Smith, who writes in, first of all, I'm in the 8th grade, and I found that your speech was fascinating. I learned so many things that disprove evolution and make it look like a fairy tale. I thank you for coming and elaborating on how fake evolution is. There were many things that just blew me away about your speech. One of which was how you destroyed the idea of the Big Bang and just how the planets were moving in different directions. Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming to our school. Good luck with getting people to debate with you. Sincerely, Travis. Well, Travis, thank you. And yes, it is hard to get people to debate. The professors want to get in front of their class where they have quite an obvious academic and psychological advantage over the students. But they don't seem to be want to take on somebody who they simply have no control over. They don't pay my paycheck. I don't care what they think. They're not going to give me a grade, and they don't intimidate me at all. So if you've got any professors like that out there willing to debate against a creationist on level playing field, tell them to give us a call. I've had 90 now, and the 8 newest ones are available on VHS or DVD right now. You can order those by calling 850-479-DINO. Here's one of our testimony from Seth Robinson. Dear Brother Hovind, we greatly enjoyed your seminars. I am 4.5 years old. My youngest fan here, Jonathan. I'm 4.5 years old and have watched most all of your seminar videos twice. I really like the one about the dinosaurs. I also like to pretend to preach like you. Thank you for creating them. May God continue to bless your endeavors, Seth. P.S. My mom wrote most of the letter. It's got an X for a signature. Well, thank you, Seth. I appreciate that. And come on down and visit our dinosaur adventure land. If you want to have the time of your life, Seth, I will be glad to give you a tour. I gave a bunch of kids tours today. We got kids, people come from all over. We had a family from Singapore come visit Dinosaur Adventure Land today. Let's see. Who else do we have from out of the country? Well, California, pretty far. Some folks from California come. They're coming from all over to see the amazing museum, science center, and theme park we have here, Dinosaur Adventure Land. Okay, some testimony has been sent to us here. If you want to AOL instant message us with your question, folks, you can do that right now. Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Jonathan, we had some left hanging from yesterday. Did we delete those? Or?
The instant messages?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. They were on your computer.
They were on mine. Well, they're gone to data heaven. So I think there were like 3 I didn't get to. Sorry about that. If you got to resend them, and we will. Where is data heaven? Any idea?
Somewhere in Philadelphia, I believe.
Okay. So that if you ever go up there, there's a lot of stuff in data heaven.
Yeah, see if you can retrieve those messages for us.
Uh-huh. I have stuff gone to data heaven. You're in the middle of a Word document, you know, and you forget to save it, and mm-hmm. power goes out, and everybody knows that sickening feeling, like, oh no. Yeah. Okay, Ryan Fincham writes, I had one question about 2 Samuel 21, verse 7 says that David spared Mephibosheth, but in verse 8 it says he handed him over to the Gibeonites. I just need some clarification. I think it's, if you read it carefully, especially if you have a King James, which you ought to have, Ryan, I think you'll find he spared Mephibosheth, who was the crippled grandson of Saul or something, but it was Saul's other sons that he handed over to the Gibeonites. Now, read that passage carefully. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry about that. But if you read that, I think you'll find he did not hand over Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 21. Also, curious if you had any affiliation or knew anything about another Bible scholar there in your area, Peter S. Ruckman. I know of him and found it funny that two major public proponents of the King James text both reside in the same city. Well, let's see. Not only do I know Peter Ruckman, I have been to his church about 3 times. I took him to lunch about 8 months ago. I have 5 of his students working here in my ministry, I think. Let's see. Joey, Amy, John, Jason. John's wife. Working might be a strong word. anyway, yes. Peter Ruckman's one of the smartest and grouchiest men I've ever met. Unnecessarily grouchy, I would have to say.
Now that is genius.
That is genius. John, yeah, we have the same kind of shoes on. I just noticed that. Great minds think alike, you know.
Oh, man.
Wow, or running like ruts or something, whatever.
We're holding them up for everybody out there listening.
Hold
to the
them
radio
up and see on the radio. Yeah, you can see. I just noticed. I thought, wow, what a coincidence. Only mine are Velcro and yours actually tie.
Yep.
I never learned how to tie is the problem.
I just have Heath tie mine for me in the morning.
Oh, Heath ties yours? Yeah. Okay.
Sets out my clothes.
Okay, anyway, Ryan, I do know Peter Ruckman. I do tell people about his ministry, encourage them to go to his bookstore. He is, I think, way off base on a few doctrines. You have to eat the meat and spit out the bones with Peter Ruckman, and there are some big bones in there. But, hey, it's got a lot of good meat, too. So I wouldn't fight him, but I couldn't join him. It's one of those kind of deals. I feel that way about a lot of other ministries. Don't want to fight them at all, but I can't join them. Here's one from Paul McCracken, who writes in. I had a question. Oh, John, you had one to read their testimony. Did you ever get through that? Do you want to have enough you can read them?
I've actually got two of here. They're very lengthy, so we went ahead and summarized them. I just went ahead and highlighted some of the main points, but these are amazing. I'm glad we kept these. The first one here is from Vila Kepler. And Vila says, my name is Vila. I'm 34 years old. And, of course, I'm not reading the entire thing. I'm kind of just skipping through. She says, my name is Vila. I'm 34 years old. A friend of mine gave me a book to read. It was Left Behind series. So she said she started reading it, and she eventually got on her knees and asked Jesus Christ to be her Lord and Savior. But God did not stop there. Listen to this. She said, I received a copy of your seminar about creation. I started watching it last week, and my husband, who usually leaves the room when I watch anything about religion, sat down and watched it with me. I was so thrilled. The next day, my husband called me from work to ask me what your name was, and I told him and asked him why he wanted it. His answer floored me. It was because he was talking about the videos at work. Ron, who's her husband, has always believed in evolution because we have tailbones, which you cover in your video.
I agree, we have tailbones.
Yeah, she goes on to say, well, I guess you fixed him there, huh? Ron says, yeah, but I want to know where the water came from and where it went. Not more than 1 minute later, you said, and I know there are those of you who will say, where did the water come from or where did it go? By this time, I was rolling on the floor. Ron was all ears. So God saved this woman, and he, to my knowledge, is in the process of bringing her husband to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She says that her husband was later on a trip somewhere and called her from the hotel room and said, honey, who are the Gideons? And she said, well, I don't know, Ron. He said, well, their name's on this Bible here. And she said, oh, the Gideons. And she just said she's so excited because that means her husband is reading the Bible.
Wow.
In the hotel room. So
I'll tell you, when people get the questions answered about creation,
It
opens up their mind to thinking, wow, you know, maybe the Bible's right.
Yeah, they can get all those answers on our website, drdiner.com, in your 17-hour seminar series.
But see, that interfaces with a real serious question. If there's a creator, are you going to do what he says or not?
Mm-hmm.
And some come to that point and say, no, I don't care what he says.
Yeah.
Okay, go to hell then. Basically, it's what it amounts to.
We planted
a seed. Where you're going.
The second one here is from Brandon Dodge. And, of course, this is a summary. It's a very lengthy email. We love getting these. We just can't cover them all on our radio. Brandon writes, first, I want to thank you, and I want to thank God for your ministry. Without it, I may not be saved today. I'm skeptical in nature and pretty much go by, I'll believe it when I see it. I had no clue that there was any proof discrediting evolution, and I was even more amazed by your logical, scientific explanations of many of the questions many people have about the Bible. Now I believe in my heart the Bible is fact. Thank God and thank you for all that you do. And he goes on with a few questions, but he says, one comment here that's really amazing. He says, I now have faith that I was able, no, let's see. I have faith now, and I was able to ask Christ into my heart. So that's just amazing to get. That is just so awesome.
That is why we do what we do.
It's plenty of motivation.
That is it, right there. You got it.
We got Vila, Ron, and Brandon all getting saved because, you know.
There are thousands like that. And,
yeah.
And if you're out there listening and you have some lost friends, let me encourage you to get our videotapes off the website, drdino.com, and give them to them. Give them to them for an un-Christmas present or something, you know? Because people will sit home and watch a video that simply will never come to church. And it's a great way to get people saved. We have seen many thousands, probably 50,000 saved that way. Got a caller here?
We have got Russell all the way from Japan on line one.
Russell, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, brother.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
I called earlier. I just wanted to ask you actually about if you have any contacts in Japan already. I know that you did your a few of your creation seminars. You translated them into Japanese.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any Japanese Christians who are doing the same kind of seminar in Japan, who are active and who know about the seminar content?
I do not know of any who are doing that. The guy who
really?
The guy who translated my stuff to Japanese,
yes,
is a pastor there who has been there for 30 years. My daughter would have his contact information.
Is he a Japanese man?
No, he's just been there as missionary. Second generation, actually. His dad was missionary. He was raised there. Extremely fluent in Japanese. It's his first language, actually.
Wow.
But he's an American.
Okay, yeah.
Last name Smith. There's only probably 10 million of those over there, too. But if you, we can transfer you to the office, and you can ask for the contact in Japan, where I spoke, I guess it's been about a year ago now.
Hmm.
And they can give you the contact information, and you can get a hold of him. One was right in the Tokyo. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. It's a huge city.
Right.
Another guy who did this was on the North Island, I guess you call it the Eastern North Island of Hokkaido.
Hokkaido.
That's where he's actually at. And he's on the north side of the island. He's been missionary there for many, many years.
Right. It wouldn't be John Himes, no?
No.
Okay. John Himes is a missionary up in Hokkaido. He's working on a Japanese translation of the Textus Receptus.
Awesome.
Which is of interest, I'm sure, to you.
Yes.
Other than that, I just wanted to say, just yesterday, I watched your debate with Dr. Paulson, and I was thrilled. I thought it was pretty clear.
Well, good. Hold on, brother. We got a break coming on here. If you want to stay on the line, I can talk to you through the break. But we'll have to. The radio's going to go to break. Okay.
Okay, that's fine, sir.
Hang on one second. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. We finished the call from Japan and got them. Hopefully content over there, and get this. We have our videotapes in Japanese, three of them anyway, part one, two, and three. So if you want to know anybody Japanese that wants to get them saved, get them a videotape. Okay, here we go, from Simoka Ali. Simoka Ali writes in, AOL Instant Message at Dr. Dino Live. Hi, my question is, my teacher at school gave us some questions to answer. One was to prove whether dinosaurs became extinct 68 million years ago or not. How could you prove to someone that dinosaurs did not live 68 million years ago? Thank you, Alicia from Washington. Well, what, Alicia, if they ask you to prove whether dinosaurs became extinct 68 million years ago or not, I would simply say this is not possible because there have been reports of dinosaur sightings all through history with people, and you could give evidence of that from my video number three. There's also ample evidence of dinosaurs still alive, which you can get from video number 3. It'd be like trying to answer the question, you know, why did chickens go extinct 60 million years ago? They didn't. They're not extinct. They're still alive. I ate one for yesterday for lunch, you know. So the whole idea of dinosaurs living 68 million years ago is ludicrous. Alicia, if you can watch my video number 3, that will really, really give you tons of ammo. And get the teacher to watch it or show it in class. Say, teacher, can we show this in class and discuss it?
They could also go to google.com and just type in living fossil. You know, there are so many organisms and creatures today that are not supposed to be here according to evolutionary theory in their timeline. The coelacanth, you know, for one, is supposed to be 250 plus million years old, still kicking around down there around, is it Madagascar?
Mm-hmm.
Not supposed to be there, and it hasn't changed, oddly enough. There's the tuatara, which is like a lizard-like creature, which is supposed to be gone as well. So these are things older than 65 million years old, according to evolutionary theory.
Yeah.
So if they're still here, then why would anyone object to a, you know, a possibility of dinosaurs still being around? So.
Well, it all goes back to what you're taught. If you're taught something for years and years and years, and then somebody comes along and says, no, that's not right,
mm-hmm.
the brain automatically rejects it, says, you got to be crazy.
Yeah.
Of course it's right. That's what I've been taught.
You're pulling somebody out of their comfort zones.
Right. Well, go tell the Taliban guys, hey, did you know if you die for the cause of Islam, you don't go to heaven, you don't get 72 wives, none of that's true, you've been lied to. Oh, they're going to think you're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to blow you up. You know?
Fly a paper airplane into your front door or something.
Yeah, probably will. So. Okay, here we go. Twinkle 100% writes, I tried to shoot the rubber band the scientific way, but couldn't get it to work. Can you give me some pointers? Oh, man.
This actually, I was thinking about this a couple days ago. I think we should do a camera or a video, you know, from the down view and from a side view of your hands as you're actually doing this. Because in a seminar, they see you doing it, but it's not really close up to see how you're doing it. You know,
we could insert a close-up in the seminar, actually.
Probably should.
But see, here's the problem. Some people should not learn how to do some things.
It is a very dangerous piece of knowledge.
Like right here in this office, we have my son in the other corner over there, who's always shooting right past your head. Right?
I'm vulnerable. You are
vulnerable, John.
Exactly. We create a perfect triangle, your son and myself, and I'm the most vulnerable corner here.
Yeah.
So both of you guys can shoot me. And he's here, one of the more recent additions to the ministry, has a hole in this wall right in front of me that he can shoot through. So you
live a nervous life.
Yeah.
Like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers.
Very jittery person.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can't help you, John.
And Thane's trying to shoot me right now.
Thane, do you know how to shoot him the scientific way?
Not as good as your son.
Okay, now here's the problem. I don't know Twinkle 100% who's emailing us here. Or I don't know if they really should know how to learn. If they should. Maybe they want this for evil purposes.
We could put a disclaimer up on the website and have them sign an agreement that they won't, you know, assassinate anybody's eyeball or something.
Yeah. Now, those jumbo rubber bands, those big, huge newspaper rubber bands, oh, man, you can hurt somebody bad with one of those. If you don't know about the scientific way to shoot a rubber band, you need to come visit Dinosaur Adventure Land. We teach the kids here. Or go to videotape number 1, where we show how to do that. It's a little tough to describe on the radio. I'm not sure how to do this over the radio. But basically, you want one side tighter than the other. And you want, when you release it quickly enough that it doesn't twist coming off of your thumb or finger, and it's able to spin like a frisbee. So, here we go. Another one from Twinkle says, are you KJV only or do you just prefer it? Now, that's a tough question to ask. I think the King James is, it took me 35 years to get to this position, okay, so I'm patient with people who aren't there yet. But I believe God actually preserved his word for it. He wrote it once, part of it in Hebrew. Apparently he didn't care that the Spanish or French or English didn't have one. And then he wrote it, another part of it in Greek, and again, didn't care if the English or Spanish or French or anybody had one. And then he preserved it all together in English, and apparently at that point doesn't matter if the French or the Germans or the Russians have one. It's he promised he would preserve his word, and he did. And so I think the King James is a preserved word of God.
And it's just like that caller from Japan said, somebody over there is trying to translate the Textus Receptus over to Japanese.
Right.
So they might have a pretty reliable translation.
That'd be good. I have a collection of Bibles right here. I got all kinds of other versions and perversions. But there are serious problems with them. And I think there's probably enough gospel in them you could get saved. But, boy, there's enough problems with them to really create havoc doctrinally. Okay, here's one from JMK1611. Ray Comfort has a lot of scripture knowledge, Why don't you straighten him out on the authority of the King James 1611 Bible? He keeps using a perverted version. Well, JMK, I have spent many hours talking with Ray Comfort. He came here and stayed at my house last January and spoke to my staff. I have stayed at his house. He is a good personal friend. He is an incredible soul winner. And I would highly recommend his ministry. But you are right. He is many steps closer than he was. About 2 years ago, I had a long talk with Ray Comfort about the Bible versions question. And he has come up now. He has what's called, I can hold it in my hand in a second here, called the Evidence Bible, where it is the King James Version easy reading. And the salesman for the KJVER, as it's called, came through here about 2 months ago, and we sat down and talked for an hour about the King James easy reading. All they did here is change some of the these and thous if it did not affect the to determine whether it's plural or singular or plural. There's another English word for that. I can't think of it now. But the number, not the gender, the number. I don't see any problems with the King James easy reading, which is what Ray's using, other than I guess it loses a little bit of the beauty of the King James language. And, of course, I've memorized so many hundreds of verses in the King James. I would hate to start over. Have to memorize.
For about 6 years, I read from the NIV, and then I kind of put that down and took the King James as my authority. And every time I would try to, you know, refer someone to a scripture, I would remember it in the NIV, and I have a very difficult time trying to find it in the King James. Or it'd be very different in the King James. So.
Right. King James is self-pronouncing. It's amazing. It's its own built-in dictionary. There's Gail Ripplinger's book, The Language of the King James Bible.
I watched her movie yesterday, actually.
That's really powerful. The way God not only preserved his word, but he gave it. People have learned to read from the King James. It can actually teach you how to read, believe it or not, you know?
It uses less syllables as well. That's one thing that she's pointing out. The King James, I believe, is about a fifth grade reading level. And, you know, the NIV is about a seventh grade, I believe, is what she said.
Yeah.
The NIV will use words with 4 or 5 syllables in it. The King James will use, you know, 2 or 3 syllables.
Yeah.
Very simple. Yeah, it's...
And by the way, we have now available right now the King James Bible on CD. You can listen to it at double speed. That is really interesting.
Count the syllables. Send them to us.
No. But you can read the whole Bible in like 30 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have drive time, some of you folks in California sit on the I-10, you know, they don't call it, I call it the 10. Okay. I'm on the 10. I'm on the 5. Like it's OJ, he's on the 10. He's on the 5. He's on the 405. You know? OJ Simpson. Never mind. Okay. Never mind, John. Think about it. But, some of you have a 2 or 3 hour time sitting in the traffic every day. Man, take advantage of that. It's the whole Bible, King James Version at double speed. We just produced it. $99 for the all 35 CDs. And that's going to be a real blessing to those who have a lot of drive time or workout time or whatever. Okay, so anyway, as far as Ray Comfort, I highly recommend his work. I think he loves the Lord. Wouldn't fight him for a second. Consider him a close personal friend. Talked to him yesterday. But you're right. He's not real strong on the King James yet, but he's coming that way. So I have talked to him quite a bit about it. And we're working on them. But I appreciate that, JMK 1611. Twinkle 100% writes back, Dr. Ken Hovind, you are the man. Boy, is that good?
That is a very profound statement. That's a very good
thing.
That's
good. Okay. Well, thank you. That's good. Okay, Powerful Prophecy writes in, I passed chemistry with a 61.2%. Man, when I was a kid, 61% was failing. 70% was passing. And I got a couple of those. Particularly English. I just, I don't know if I didn't have a good teacher, I just wasn't interested or what. But
English.
Science and math, boy, I ate them up, you know. But English, I just didn't quite. When am I going to need this, is what I would say. And now, here I am, head of a ministry.
Yeah, I always thought, born in America, I speak English, I was raised to speak English. Why am I in English class when I'm 18 years old? I thought it's kind of bad, you know, it kind of reflects badly on myself here.
Still learning the language.
Yeah, and then today I'll be talking, you know, I ain't going to go do that or something, and I find out, oh, I should have paid attention a little more. That's why I was in it at 18.
Right. Well, when you have to proofread things, like here I have in front of me, a stack of four things to proofread.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd studied English more. I mean, it's too late. It's not too late now, but it's, I'm
paying. Well, you got 51 years studying English.
I'm paying now for my lack of paying attention back then. Okay. The mom told me I would.
Mm-hmm.
Mom said, you're going to wish you'd learned this. Yeah, right, Mom. Sure, sure. Mom, she's up in heaven now. You were right. Sorry. They get smarter as you get older, you know, parents do. Here we go. Paul McCracken writes in. Hi there, Kent. I have a question for you. I'm a creationist Christian and have watched all your creation tapes. I recently got an email from a former employee at work, and she sent me a picture of the eye of God taken from the Hubble telescope. Paul, I have seen that. A very interesting, beautiful picture. When I replied about how awesome God was in creating that, and we just found out about it now, she responded by saying, quote, yes, there is a God, goddess, living and thriving, and sometimes laughing at us funny humans. It is much better that we can imagine in our normal state of consciousness, finding the godlessness, ha ha ha, just invented a new word, gods and goddesses, within. Oh, we have to find God within. John, do you have God within? Are you miniature God? Is that?
This is actually a comment that I always snicker at. People who are lost and searching for an answer look within themselves. They're the ones that are searching for the answer.
They're already lost.
Yeah, why would they look within themselves?
Right.
That's just crazy.
That's good. I got to use that one. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Let me look within myself. Yeah, that'll help. Okay. So the friend writes, look for the goddess within is what I'm interested in. Who am I really beyond my persona? What do I really want to give to the world? How can I best serve and how can I best be at peace with all of existence? Those are the questions I am living. You want to be at peace with the world? Go down and go to sit on an anthill and be at peace with the ants. Yeah, try that.
I wonder why. Why be at peace with the world?
You know, why don't you go jump in the water and be at peace with the sharks?
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd love to have a piece of you, I'm sure. Do you have any information about the eye picture, Paul writes, that could be a creationist argument? I'm really not sure how to answer her God, goddess stuff, though I realize it's clearly a New Age philosophy, which I abhor. Thanks for your work. You're awesome, Paul. Paul, how do you answer somebody the God, goddess stuff? I would say, well, if there's a God, which quite obviously there has to be, then the question is, would this God leave behind a record of what he did and why? And I think the logical answer would be, of course, he would leave behind a record of what he did and why. And the Bible claims to be that record. The Bible claims to be flawless, perfect, inspired, infallible, and inerrant. So either it is or it isn't. You cannot say the Bible's a good book. You have to say it is the Word of God, it is perfect, or it's a bad book, because it's lying. It's claiming to be perfect. So don't... I would set them against Jesus. I would set them against the Bible and say, you know, Jesus said this and the Bible said this. You can call him a liar if you want. But your God, goddess stuff is baloney. There is a God and it's not a goddess. Yes, John, who we got on the line?
We have got Matthew calling from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I was there a couple weeks ago. Yes, Matthew, go ahead.
Brother Holden, I'm a big fan and I keep praying for your ministry. I'm going to be facing an evolutionist tomorrow in my class. The teacher is going to be teaching evolution. And he tried to silence another fellow Christian, female in my class.
Okay.
Today. So I'm wondering what I can do. We're going to talk about the different kinds of men from what I'm guessing. The Homo erectus and other such blasphemous things.
Okay. Here's what I would do. I would be prepared with, you know, information on each one of the key ones, which you can get on my videotape number 2.
Okay.
If you watch the very beginning of video number 2, actually the second hour, it's 2B. So if you download it off the internet, go to the second hour where I talk about the cavemen.
Okay.
Jonathan, is there a website for Marvin Lubinow or Jack Cuozzo?
Yeah, they can go to jackcuozzo.com.
C-U-O-Z-Z-O. Yeah, Jack Cuozzo, C-U-O-Z-Z-O, jackcuozzo.com. He wrote the book Buried Alive about the Neanderthals. He's coming to speak at our conference this September.
Okay.
He's really good. I would point out to the professor, I would say, sir, first place, before we get into discussion on any of these cavemen's kind of guys, you need to understand no fossil counts as evidence for evolution. None of them. Because, I mean, think about it. You can't prove those bones had any kids.
Mm-hmm.
in a court of law, they'd laugh at you for bringing fossils in, saying this is proof of evolution. You know, you bring in a box of bones and say, these are the ancestors of us today. You say, Your Honor, you don't know these are the ancestors of anybody. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I also, had another question, too.
Sure.
The Christian woman, he asked the question of what made the dinosaurs go extinct. And the fellow classmate who was a Christian, she raised her hand and said, well, Noah's flood. And she actually beat me to the punch because I was going to say the same thing. But today he pulled her aside before class and basically told her in no uncertain terms that she was to remain quiet while talking about the different kinds of men and stuff like that before class, which I'm sure violates some academic rules in, at our university.
And violates freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If I were her, I would speak up anyway and say, now, sir, do you discriminate against people because of their religious beliefs?
Yeah, well,
you know, we got a break time here.
She'd be proud of her, Dr. Holden. She'll try to remain quiet.
Well, we got a break here, brother. If you want to hang on through the break, we can talk some more.
Okay.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in about a minute. And for the final segment of Creation Science Hour, stay with us. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is the final segment. If you want to call in, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. We'll be glad to have you on the program. Or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino. Live. DRDINOLIVE. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead there.
Yeah, you would have been proud of her, Dr. Holden. She said she'll try to remain quiet, but she didn't give him any guarantees. And he was basically trying to tell her about how the Earth is millions of years old and how all the scientific evidence is right. And her and I both know that this is blasphemous and it's against the Word of God. It's untrue. So, I mean,
I'm
familiar.
Why don't you get my call off air sometime and we'll give you my cell phone number.
Okay.
I don't want to give that to the whole world. I get enough phone calls here.
Okay, yeah. No, I understand.
Okay. And you can, during the class, you say, teacher, we can get Dr. Hovind on the phone right now to answer any questions you've got.
Okay. I will be sure to do that because I just pray for me, Dr. Hovind, as I'm going to confront this issue tomorrow.
Well, here's what I would do. I would be very careful to do two things. Clearly define what you mean by evolution if you're going to talk about evolution. Secondly, the goal is not to get evolution out of the schools or to get creation in. The goal is to not let lies be taught. If they're telling you that Lucy, Australopithecus afarensis, is evidence for evolution, they're confused or they're lying, okay? Lucy is 3 feet tall. It's a chimpanzee-type animal. Charles Oxnard studied every single bone of Lucy with a computer multivariate analysis and said, this is not a missing link.
Okay.
So the more facts you know on these, you know, I wouldn't even mention creation or evolution.
Yeah, because, I definitely won't. I'll just question how he's come to these conclusions or how scientists come to those conclusions.
Keep asking questions. Sir, you know, why are so many people saying Lucy is not a missing link? Or if they're talking about Homo erectus or Homo habilis or Australopithecus africanus, there's a great book called by Marvin Lubinow called Bones of Contention. It's available on my website for like $12 or $13. Does he have a website, Jonathan? Marvin Lubinow? I don't think he does. I'll tell you what, go to creationism.org.
Okay.
Creationism.org is Paul Abramson's website. He's a friend of mine in Berkeley, California who has links to probably 150 other creation sites. You probably could download tonight off the internet information about each of the so-called cavemen.
Okay.
I think there's a section on answersingenesis.org about some of them.
Okay.
Anyway, if you had papers ready, you would keep a copy for yourself and a copy. I don't know if you want to make copies for the whole class.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, when the teacher brings up one, say, excuse me, sir, could you look this? This is evidence that what you're saying is not correct. You know, and just on a particular one, any particular one.
Okay.
If you one by one debunk the ones that they're using as evidence, pretty soon they're left with the theory, but no evidence to support it.
Right. And you and I both know that the theory is wrong and has no shred of scientific evidence to it. So,
right.
So, okay. Thank you, Brother Holman.
You're welcome. Hey,
I will be sure to call you off the air.
Sounds great. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, folks, if you want to be on the air, you can dial 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. And if you're curious about all the legal battles going on down here, we are doing fine. We're still running along just great. We have had couple of intrusions by some of the people who want to shut our ministry down, but all the stuff is on richardsays.com. richardsays.com. We have sent Richard correspondence back and forth with the IRS and with the county And Richard is keeping up with everything pretty well, and he can just go right there and say, hey, Hovind, you're right. These guys are lying about you. And that is correct. They are absolutely lying. But that's what they're good at. They're liars. Here we go. Twinkle 100% writes again, would Dr. Hovind ever consider coming to a hole-in-the-wall high school in Vermont? If not, when is the next closest debate seminar to Windsor, Vermont? Is there a place on your website where I can find out? Jonathan, on the website, they find out where I'm going to be. Is that right on the homepage? Itinerary? Just go right to the homepage to the itinerary. The only place I have been in Vermont is Barrie, Vermont, right outside of the capital, Montpelier. So I was there. Let's see, I have a yellow flag on that one, which means I don't know the year. I need to go back and find out. I'm going to guess it was like 95, almost 10 years ago, that I was in Barrie, Vermont. So, it's been a while. I've been to New York, Vermont, New Hampshire twice, three times, Massachusetts a bunch of times, but I don't get up there much. Have a church, give me a call. It's been a long, probably 10 years since I've been there. I would be glad to come back if you want to get somebody to have us come. As far as come speaking at a high school, I pretty much have to be invited. I can't just walk in and start speaking. But if you get a school to call and say, hey, we would like you to come, or probably the best way is to get a church up there to schedule a seminar. And I do it, I speak on Monday at the school while I'm already there for the weekend seminar on Sunday. Typically, that's the best way to get in, because schools, I don't charge anything for my seminars, but, you know, I do have 40 people on staff I got to feed here. So I look for churches generally of 400 or more that I go to every weekend. Probably averages about 1,000, typical size church I speak at every week, but 400 is kind of an arbitrary minimum, because I just, you know, there's a million churches and I can't go to everyone. I'd be a really old man by the time I got done going to all of them. Really old man. So anyway, Twinkle, 100%, if you want to have school give me a call, I'd be glad to come, or just show my videotapes. Be glad to do that. Okay. Man, we're never going to get done, Jonathan. We're running out of time here. Randy Byers writes in, the right to transport yourself or goods in this country, is driving a right or a privilege? Well, it is a right, but you turn it into a privilege when you get one of their licenses. So you have a right to travel. If you want it to become a privilege, you can do that by asking for their license. That is another long story, like the marriage license story that Jonathan and Heath have been researching so diligently on till, what, 4 in the morning? Almost every night here for the last couple nights.
It's a very interesting subject. I can real quickly just read one small thing.
From Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio.
Well, see, you feel like you're in the Matrix all of a sudden when you realize we have been so brainwashed. I mean, absolutely so duped. It was on Heath's desk a minute ago, the one about the Ohio law.
Back over here.
Before the program.
But we got on Ohio. They have a document. Yeah, Ohio has a document called With This Ring, I Do Thee Wed. In their very first paragraph, they go through and explain the marriage. And they say, this is a direct quote from their document. It says, actually, when you repeat your marriage vows, you enter into a legal contract. There are three parties to that contract. One being you, two, your husband or wife, and three, the state of Ohio. So you're not actually just marrying your husband or wife. You're actually coming into a legal contract, a marriage with the state of Ohio, as, you know, put forth pretty clearly in that document there, which is the same for all states.
Well, right, and the state becomes the parents. What's the Latin phrase for that?
Parens parie.
Parens parie.
In locos parentes.
In locos parentes. They become...
Type it in on Google search.
Is that spelling right?
It's not exact.
Okay. Type it in on Google. Parens, P-A-R-E-N-S. What's that? How do you spell that one?
It's pronounced parie, I believe.
Parie. In locos parentis. When you get a marriage, state marriage license, the state becomes, owner of your children. Which again goes back to the Matrix. We have been absolutely so blinded. How the whole world can be blinded in so many areas. Driving is just one of them. I don't have time to get into that one today. Or any day for that matter. Don't call me with any questions about that, folks. I just don't have time. Too many other dragons to slay. Here we go. Brian Seto, S-E-T-O, says, what is dark matter? Why do evolutionists say it's part of the Big Bang Theory? What's hot dark matter and cold dark matter, and what is dark energy? Brian, I would say all of them, in my humble, totally unbiased opinion, are pure imagination and are probably baloney.
They're attempts to fix a failing theory, this theory of the Big Bang and so forth. You know, everything is not evenly distributed as it should be. There's clumps and so forth. So they're trying to fix it with this, oh, well, there's matter out there. You just can't see it. It doesn't emit any radiation either.
It's dark matter. Right.
It's magic matter.
Magic matter. It doesn't exist, and we can't prove it, but, you know, you got to believe me because we need this to save our theory. That's the real bottom line behind all this dark matter stuff. Okay, Chris Stone writes in, I was wondering if you could tell me where I could find more about the Romans coming to America. Ah, Chris, as far as Romans coming to America, let's see. I'm walking over to the section of my library that has all that stuff. Let's see. I would go to the website Wex Club, WEXCLUB, Wex Club, I think it's .com or .org, World Explorer Club. I'm holding in my hand a book called Lost Cities of North and Central America by David Hatcher Childress. Excellent material in here. Now, I don't agree with all of his conclusions on some of the stuff he concludes, but at wexclub.org or .com, try that. Looking for Childress is the author's last name, C-H-I-L-D-R-E-S-S. He has all kinds of books about just proof that other people came to America way before Columbus did. The Irish did, the Romans did, probably King Solomon did, traded back and forth with his navy across as 1000 B.C. So I think there was a period of dark ages where, you know, things were suppressed and knowledge was suppressed and things, libraries were burned and, you know, a lot of information was lost in the dark ages, typically considered 500 A.D. to a 1500 A.D. But before that, there was plenty of trade back and forth across the ocean. Check out Brendan the Navigator, who came from Ireland in like 500 A.D. over to America. The Vikings, of course, came over in 1000 A.D. Daniel Stockton writes in, in one of your seminars, you said that one volcano can produce more carbon monoxide than mankind ever has. What are your sources? I don't know if I said carbon monoxide. I think I said they can produce more ozone-destroying material. There's a book called Facts Not Fear about the environmental baloney going around saying, you know, man is destroying the environment. Well, there's no question man has destroyed some of the environment. I don't question that. The question is, you know, is it as great as they say, and is the government the one to fix it? That's, you know, the issue to look at.
Yesterday, you pointed out a very interesting article. It was something about a volcano. One volcano erupted and emitted enough lava, I believe, to cover all of the streets in the United States up to 8 meters deep.
It was in Iceland.
Iceland.
One volcano produced enough lava to pave the entire U.S. highway system 24 feet deep.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of lava.
Yeah. Wow.
That was in 1700-something, the big volcano erupted in Iceland. I mean, what man does is pretty puny, you know, compared to what nature can do. So I don't remember the quote other than, I said, you're the first person to question that, I guess, and I don't know that I have a reference or remember the reference about volcanoes producing material that destroys ozone, and one volcano can produce 100,000 times more ozone material, ozone-destroying material, than all of humanity has made in all of its history. The point is, to outlaw refrigerants and air conditioning is dumb. Capital D, dumb. What we're doing with our little Freon here is zero compared to what nature can do. And ozone is self-healing.
If you look at also the evolutionary time scale, they say that maybe if you compare it to a clock with 60 hours or 60 minutes in it, yes, 60 minutes, a full hour, they say that humans have only been here for probably the last half second or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If what we have done in the last half second, you know, is enough to almost destroy the possibility to have life on Earth, how did we get to this point?
Yeah, we're not at this point, is the problem.
Yeah,
it's all baloney. Okay, here's Cuffy2121 writes in, do you guys have something I could buy from your store to give to my science teacher at public school? If so, what's the name of it? Thank you very much. Cuffy, what I would give to any science teacher, and if I could afford it, I would give it to every science teacher in the world, is my videotape number 4. On the Blue series of tapes, it's called Lies in the Textbooks. So go to drdino.com and go to Seminar Part 4. You can download it, put it on DVD or CD, and give it to them. Lies in the Textbooks. That gets more teachers saved than anything else we do around here. Okay, Larry Davis writes in, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I've watched your DVD series about 1 million times and had the pleasure of giving away 4 copies. I also believe the Bible is without flaw or error. I certainly do not believe in the once saved, always saved. But as you say, I eat the meat and spit out the bones. Well, now, Larry, if you keep reading that Bible, you will eventually believe like I believe. Just keep reading it. You'll be there. You'll be an independent, temperamental, fundamental, right-wing, radical, chicken-eating Baptist when it's over with. The most radical, dangerous kind. Okay, here we go. Larry goes on to say, now, on to my question. You state that Noah would not have needed to take bugs on the ark, as they would float on dead trees or somehow survive. Genesis 7 states all flesh and every creeping thing died. You may want to update that part of your tape. I'm guessing this leaves eggs or Noah sharing the ark with them. I think you'd have to read Genesis 7 carefully, Larry, and you'll see all those in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Bugs don't have nostrils. Bugs breathe through their skin, through spiracles, so I don't think you could even demonstrate, believe it or not, I don't think you could demonstrate bugs are alive. That's another story for tomorrow. Okay, hang in there, Michael, and Bartman, and Flam Cheesy, Alfredo Saviors. We'll start on those tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Central Time. Thanks a lot, folks. See you then.